Good evening, everybody. We are now about to start the bracha of Re'eva Anyenu, which is the seventh bracha of the Shemona Esrei. And let's first read through the bracha and translate it. Re'eva Anyenu, look at our affliction, V'riva Rivenu, or please look at our affliction, V'riva Rivenu, and quarrel our quarrels, fight our battles. Goleinu mehera lama'an shemecha, redeem us quickly for your name's sake. Ki goel chazak ata, because you are a mighty redeemer. Baruch ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, goel Yisrael, redeemer of Israel. So clearly the theme here is redemption. Now, the question is, what kind of redemption are we referring to? The approach that we're going to be using, which is Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner's approach in his book on the Shemona Esrei, is that we're talking about a redemption that relates to the ultimate redemption of Mashiach, but it's not directly referring to that. But it's something that does relate to that. And it's not actually a physical redemption as much as an internal spiritual redemption. That's the way I understand how he approaches this. Now, before we get into the actual explanation of the blessing, as we have been doing until now, the first thing we talk about is what Rabbi Kirzner refers to as the historical background of this blessing, that every one of the blessings of Shemona Esrei corresponds to a historical event that relates to the Torah, to Tanakh. And so what event does the bracha of Goel Yisrael, Blessed are you Hashem, Redeemer of Israel, to what historical event does it relate to? And again, the sources that say this are based on Midrashim, and that after certain events, the Malachim, the angels, after seeing these events, they proclaim the concluding blessing that we use, that the sages incorporate into the Shemona Esrei, which in this case would be Baruch Atah Hashem, Blessed are you Hashem, Goel Yisrael, Redeemer of Israel. So what was it that that inspired the angels to respond this blessing to what Hashem had done? And the explanation is that this corresponds to something we had a few weeks ago in Parshas Ve'era, and something that will come up again on Pesach, which we refer to as the Dalid L'Shoyne Shal Ge'ula, the four expressions of redemption. We have four cups of wine at the Seder night, corresponding to four expressions of redemption. V'hoitseisi, and I shall take out. V'hitzalti, I shall save. V'ga'alti al shel redeem. V'lakachti, I shall take. These were the expressions of redemption that Hashem told Moshe to share with the Jewish people. And there are a number of ways of explaining these four expressions. And the way Rabbi Kirzner approaches these, the approach that he's using when explaining these expressions is, V'hotseisi, I will take you out, means I will take you out from the bondage of Egypt. I shall physically remove you from under the bondage of Egypt. You will not be slaves, and you will leave their land. That's V'hotseisi, I shall take you out. V'hitzalti, I shall save you, refers to the fact that even after the Jewish people have left Egypt physically, they will not have to be concerned with Paro coming after them, even after they've left, which we know is a concern of the Jewish people, that even after they left, they're always concerned in the back of their minds that Paro is going to come after, is going to come out and get them. So V'hitzalti is a promise that Hashem says, I shall save you from Paro. Paro will not be able to get you to attack you afterwards, to punish you for leaving, to bring you back. You're not going to have anything to worry about Paro. V'ga'alti, I shall redeem you, says Rabbi Kirzner, is following the approach that Geula redemption here means a inner redemption, a spiritual redemption, in the sense that the essence, the spiritual essence of the Jewish people, call it the neshamas of the Jewish people, were enslaved. They were enslaved to the Egyptian influence, the Egyptian way of life. They were idol worshippers because of the Egyptians. So Geula v'ga'alti, Hashem says that the inner bondage that you went through, not only the physical bondage that you went through, but the spiritual bondage that you went through, the bondage that your neshamas went through by being in Egypt, Vegalti, I will redeem you from that. So once you, and then once you have the physical redemption and the spiritual redemption, Hashem says, V'lakachti, that I shall take you as my people. I will give you the Torah, and I will take you from my people. So the four expressions of redemption are, Hashem says, I will physically take you out from the bondage of Egypt. I will free you from any concern that power will come back to get you after you leave. And the spiritual bondage that you experienced by being in Egypt, which actually can last even after your spirit, if after you're physically physically freed, that spiritual bondage I'll redeem you from also, so that now you can become my people, you can receive my Torah and become my people. When Hashem expressed these four expressions of redemption, that is when the angels sang in praise to Hashem, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Goel Yisrael, Redeemer of Israel. When Hashem showed the redemption that I would give to the Jewish people, that is when the angels responded by singing the praise, blessed are you Hashem, Redeemer of Israel. Okay. The next thing that we discuss, as we have in the past, is the order of the blessings. We started off with the bracha of Atah Chayilam Das, where we daven to Hashem for knowledge and understanding, and the special understanding that we need to appreciate His Torah. The next blessing was about teshuvah, about repentance, which is once we gain that true understanding of how we should live our lives, then we can work towards returning when we do a sin. The next comes slicha, the next comes forgiveness. The forgiveness, as we said, forgiveness includes that forgiveness means that Hashem says, I'm not looking at your past anymore. I'm not going to be responsible for your past in a sense of punishment. And any kind of spiritual wall, any kind of spiritual block, any kind of spiritual impediment that there is between me and you, Hashem says, that will also go off. The next blessing now is redemption. So how does redemption follow the last bracha of forgiveness? What's the connection? More than that, Rabbi Kurzner asks, from a pasuk in Tehillim, because we see in the Gemara that the brachas of Shemona Esrei, you know, are based on verses in Tanakh. So he asks from the verse in Tehillim that reads as follows. This is in Perek Kuf Gimel. That is chapter 103 in Tehillim, in the Book of Psalms. Okay. And the psukim read like this. Okay. Blessed, I'll start from the beginning of the parak, from the first pasuk already. Baruch hinafshi es Hashem v'chol kravai Hashem kodshei. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Baruch hinafshi es Hashem, blessed the Lord, O my soul, v'al tishchi kol gemulav, and forget not all He caused to ripen for me, all He has caused, all He's done good for me. Hasrei leach l'chol avoneichi, who forgives all my crookedness, all my iniquities. Harefei l'chol tachlu oichi, who heals all my diseases. Hagoyal mishachas chayoichi, who redeems my life from the from shakas, from destruction. Hama'atrechi chesed v'rachamim, who crowns me with kindness and mercy. That is these psukim. Now, if we examine verses psukim gimel and dalet, verses 3 and 4, it reads the following order: Hasaylech l'chol avoneichi, who forgives all my sins. That's number one. Harefei l'chol tachlu oichi, who heals my sicknesses. Hagoyal mishachas chayoichi, who redeems my life from destruction. So the order that David HaMelech has, that the order in Tehillim, is slicha, forgiveness, refua, healing, geula, redemption. That's the order in Tehillim. That's not our order in the Shemoneh Esrei, right? We have salach lanu, forgiveness, reina v'anyenu, see our affliction, geula, redemption, and then refu'enu, then we have healing. It's not the same order as the order that we find here in Tehillim. Now, as Rabbi Kurzner explains, the order in Tehillim is the understanding behind that order is the following. And that is, is that, as we've talked about many times before, and that we have many, many sources in Tanakh and in the Medrash and the Talmud, that disease is a message. When a person gets sick, it's meant to be a message from God that you need to correct things. That's why the sickness is coming. And the sickness is a result, very often, you know, we can ask, you know, whether there can be many questions that we can ask on this principle, but the principle that we start off with is that diseases come as a result of our sins and as a means of atonement or a wake-up call that we repent. Now, if we come to a point that we have gained forgiveness, then essentially that becomes a remedy for illnesses. If illnesses were meant to be some kind of a spiritual message from God, if we've done tshuva, we repented, that means we don't need the sicknesses anymore. So if we have attained forgiveness from Hashem through repentance, then there is no more need for illnesses. There's no more messages we need from God. We took the messages either from the illnesses, before we got the illnesses, we repented, there's no more reason for illnesses. And there's also now a reason for redemption. If we follow redemption, meaning that kind of that inner spiritual redemption of our neshamas, of our souls, of our essential spiritual being, so then again, if we have forgiveness, we can have refuah, we can have healing physically, and we can have geula, we can have redemption, because when Hashem forgives us, the impediments, the things that block us from coming close to Hashem and growing closer to Hashem are removed. Because that is what has happened. Once we repent, again, Hashem says, I don't look at the past. The wall that's created between us and God can now be broken down, and we can move forward. So that's the order that David HaMelech has. Hashem forgives my sins, heals my illness, because there's no more need for illness, and redeems me. But that's not the order that we have in the davening. So the question is why? Why did our sages decide that we need to use a different order our order in the Shemoneh Esrei is forgiveness, redemption, healing, while David Melech in Tehillim, the order that he had was forgiveness, healing, So Rabbi Kurzner explains in the following way. He explains that the reason why the sages does not want to put healing right after forgiveness is because that would imply that healing is a result of forgiveness. If healing is about, it's a spiritual message to us, that we need to correct something. If that's what it is, then if we've done tshuva, if we repented, then we don't have the illness anymore. And vice versa, if we have no illness anymore, that's a result of forgiveness. So Rabbi Kurzner points out that that's not always necessarily so. Yes, potentially it's so. There is such an order, as David HaMelech points out, of forgiveness, healing, but it doesn't always have to be that way. And he says a very interesting concept. The concept that he says is that illness is a spiritual message, but illness from the point of suffering actually has a power to rectify or to be like a therapy for our neshama, even if we haven't changed on our own. Meaning, essentially, when a person gets sick, he's supposed to stop and think about the fact that this is a message from Hashem, something has to be corrected. If something physically is not going right, it means spiritually is something not going right. So that's the message you're supposed to take. Now, let's say we don't take that message. Let's say we just don't think about it. Let's say we reject it. So does that mean that the illness isn't doing anything? No, it could still be. Because there's a certain power to suffering, that suffering does something to us. Suffering has the ability to actually, in some way or another, make some kind of subtle rectification to our souls, even if we don't realize it. Even if we're not doing tshuva, even if we're not taking the message of the sickness, the mere fact that we suffer, that in itself has a certain level of rectification to our neshamas. It may be something going on deep inside of us that we don't realize, because this could even be happening if we're not changing our ways. But deep down, this suffering could be doing, could be, so to speak, creating some kind of a therapy, some kind of a healing for our neshama that we don't necessarily realize. And perhaps what that means, you know, the way I would try to understand what this means, is that the suffering has the ability to cleanse our neshama in a way that if we'll get our act together and do tshuva and try to grow, we'll have an easier time doing it. We'll be more conditioned for it. The healing process that can be happening through illness, through suffering, that cleanses us without us even realizing it, is something that has a purpose. And that purpose will be to condition us to be able to get our act together better. We still got to make the move. We still have to do something to improve, to show us something that we want to improve, that we want to grow. But there'll be a certain kind of therapeutic effect that comes from the suffering that now, you know, cleanses or conditions the neshama to be in better shape. But it doesn't have to come with tshuva. It doesn't have to come with tshuva. It could happen on its own. And therefore, it's possible that an illness may come. It was sent to create that therapy, and it did it. But you didn't do tshuva yet, and you don't have forgiveness yet, but you have refuah, you have healing. So being that it's possible that you could have healing without tshuva, it could be, again, tshuva definitely is a reason to be a healing from sickness, because essentially it's supposed to be a message, and if you got the message from the illness or before the illness, you don't need the illness. But there's also a possibility of illness in which it can be independent. It's not. It can go away even without tshuva, because it's done what it needs to do. It had to have a certain kind of effect on you, a subtle one, even if you don't realize it, and it did it. So it went away because its job was done. But you didn't do tshuva yet. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't want to position refuah, the healing, right after forgiveness, because the two things don't necessarily go together. Don't think that every time you have refuah, you have forgiveness. No, you could have refuah without forgiveness. Another example of that, says Rabbi Kirzner, is of, let's say, again, this is how the Rebbeinu Shalom deals with us. Rebbeinu Shalom sends a person an illness as a wake-up call, and the person just doesn't take the call. It's not working, right? I'm calling you, you're not picking up the phone. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stop calling you, right? If this message isn't working, then I'm going to try to get hold of you a different way. If I can't get hold of you through the phone, right, I'll send you an email. I'll try to get hold of you some other way. If the Rebbeinu Shalom gives a person the chance to get a wake-up call, to take a wake-up call from the illness, and he's not taking the call, so at a certain point, Rebbeinu Shalom decides, so I'm not doing it anymore. He's not taking the call. I'm not going to do it anymore. So again, for even without any kind of, you know, subtle rectification mentioned before, if the Rebbeinu Shalom gives a person a chance to wake up from the illness and he doesn't take the call, so Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm not giving him the call anymore. Because the point of the illness is not necessarily to give you a patch, not necessarily just it's for sure not to get back at you, and it's not necessarily to just punish you on the spot. It's meant to be a wake-up call. And if you're not taking the wake-up call, then that's it. No more wake-up call. So it's not, again, so the two things, the refuah, so although, again, David HaMelech made the connection between forgiveness and healing, and there definitely is that connection, the sages didn't want to put it next, they don't want to put healing next to forgiveness, because the two things don't always have to go together. Now, the next step that Rabbi Kirzner does is very beautiful, in which he now explains that not only do the sages not want to put refuah next to forgiveness because of the reasons that we gave, but they actually want to put redemption next to forgiveness, because there's a very deep interconnection between forgiveness and redemption. And he explains it like this. And he explains that we said before that redemption refers to a spiritual redemption. Right, there's a spiritual enslavement, a spiritual bondage, a bondage of our neshamas in which they're bound, they're enslaved to evil, and enslaved to evil in the sense that, you know, we can call, well, they're enslaved to evil and they need to be redeemed. Now, Rabbi Kurzner points out that when you use the word redeemed, the word redeemed means, doesn't mean to get something new. If you didn't have something and now you get something new, that's not called redeemed. Redeemed means you redeemed. Redeemed means something that you either had or you potentially can have, and there's something not letting you get to it. So, for instance, you have your crops grow, and you have to give what we call the Maaser Sheni, the second tithing. And we say, okay, what do you got to do with that? Take that to Yerushalayim. And if you don't take the Yerushalayim, what do? You redeem it onto money. You basically, these fruits that grow from your tree, right? There's something that's limiting you from having access to them. But if I do something, I redeem them. I gain my access back to them. So when we use the word redemption here, and we're using it in a spiritual sense, we're saying that we're being redeemed. We're getting back to what we always had. The potentials, what we call our kochos, our powers, our potentials. Every person has potentials that Hashem has given them to be able to fulfill their mission in life. The problem is that there are certain lifestyles, as Rabbi Kurzner calls it, that actually create a barrier to those potentials. We would call them possibly create a shell around those potentials, and we don't have access to them. But they're in us. They're ours. They're in us, but we can't get to them. And geula means that Hashem takes off that shell, takes off that impediment, so that we can get back to our essential and potential, to our essential powers, and then move forward in fulfilling our mission to life. So when we're talking about geula, we're talking about getting back to the potentials that are always within us. The way that we get back to those potentials that are in us, the way we crack through those shells that we created through a sinful lifestyle, is first teshuva, first repentance, and then Hashem forgives us. Then Hashem says, look, your past created this shell, but you've now regretted your past. You want to move forward. You want to work towards a better future. And if you do it right, I say, okay, the past was the past. I don't hold you responsible for the past. The past doesn't have an effect on you anymore. And therefore, the shell is off. The impediments are off. Gain access to your potentials and move forward. So there's a very strong connection between forgiveness and geula. Explaining geula as a spiritual redemption, as meaning to get back to what we always had, to get back to our potentials, the way that we get back to that is when we are forgiven. Because when we are forgiven, that is what helps us now be redeemed. So therefore, the sages wanted to follow the order of forgiveness and not refuah, because they didn't want to make an impression that the two things have to go together. And they put geula next to forgiveness, which again does follow the order of the pasuk of David HaMelech, of Tehillim, to a certain degree. That's because there's a very strong connection. There's a very strong connection between the two, because attaining the geula that we strive for, attaining the inner geula, the spiritual geula, the removal of the shell from our potential, at the end of the day, how does that come? That comes through forgiveness. Because forgiveness, where Hashem says, I'm not looking at your past anymore. Everything from the past is gone, and now gain access to your potential and move forward in your mission in life. Okay, so this gives us this explanation between the connection between the previous bracha and this bracha, gives us a very important understanding of what geula in this blessing means. So now let's get back to the actual blessing and go through each part. We start off saying, Re'eina v'anyenu, please look at our affliction. When we ever ask Hashem to look, that means to say that, of course, Hashem is everywhere and Hashem sees everything. But the point is that we can be in a state, and again, this, because it's called geula, this is referring to a redemption on a national level, a redemption on a redemption from the effects of exile. If we're talking about geula, then geula in the blessing relates to exile, to gullus. So what we're saying is, re'eina v'ayenu, look at our affliction. We're in gullus, Rabbeinu Shalaylam. We're afflicted by the nations of the world. Look at it. Take notice of it. Focus your attention on it. Don't look away from it, so to speak, and let us suffer. Focus on it. Look at our affliction. V'rivari v'enu, and fight our battles. So fight our, quarrel our quarrels or fight our battles. This is explained, Rabbi Kurzer explains it, that again, we're not talking about physical battles here. Maybe in some levels we would be, because we could say that any kind of manifestation of suffering that we have in Gullus is really a manifestation of, if something's wrong with our physical lives, that means there's something wrong with our spiritual lives. But Riva Rivenu, quarrel our quarrels. Look at our affliction that we have at the hands of the nation of the world in Gullus. And quarrel our quarrels. What kind of quarrels? What kind of battles are we asking for that Hashem should help us battle? We're asking Hashem to help us battle the influences of Gullus, of exile. Because when we live in exile and we don't have the influence of Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash, then we are now have to face the influences of exile that try to pull us away from doing the right thing, try to pull us away from being able to connect to our real inner essence and be able to, and to grow close to Hashem. When we fight, when we're asking to fight the battles, we're actually saying to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we know we're in exile, but we're tempted to follow the influence of exile. Battle our battles. Help give us the strength to battle those influences of exile that are trying to take us away. Those influences that create that shell, that barrier to our potential, help us battle those influences. Help us battle those influences so that we can repent. Help us battle those influences so that they don't make the shell even deeper, even greater. And what do we say? We say, Reina Vanyenu, look at our afflictions. Revanyenu, look at our afflictions. Veriva Rivena, quell our quarrels. Ugolenu Mehera Laman Shemecha. Ugolenu Mehera, quickly redeem us. Rabbeinu Shlomo, if you don't redeem us quickly, it's only going to get worse. They're going to have bigger problems. If you don't redeem us quickly, if you don't take away that shell that allows us now to connect to our potential, if you don't redeem us spiritually, we're going to get into worse trouble. Ugolenu Mehera, therefore, quickly redeem us. Laman Shemecha, for the sake of your name. Whenever we say for the sake of your name, that means we're saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we know it may not be worthy. We may not be worthy of redemption. But redeem us, Laman Shemecha, for the sake of your name. You created a purpose for this world. You want the world to fulfill a certain mission. Who does that? We do that. So even if we're not completely worthy of redemption, redeem us for your sake. So that now, with that redemption of our neshamas, we'll be able to fulfill the purpose that you created the world for. Ki goyel chazak ata, for you are a strong redeemer. Here also, the way you understand it is that, again, we are not worthy, and therefore you're a strong redeemer. Even if we're not worthy, and even if we have the voices in heaven that are actually accusing us, and actually trying to say that they're trying in heaven to convince Hashem, don't redeem them. They're not worthy of redemption. Don't redeem them. You have a sot, you have an accusing angel that accuses Jewish people of being unworthy of redemption. Gayel Chazakata, you're a strong redeemer. You can resist those accusations. So again, even if we're not worthy of the gula that we're asking for, redeem us anyway. Laman Shemecha, for yourself, for your sake. Baruch Ato Hashem, bless you Hashem. Goy El Yisrael, Redeemer of Israel. Now, Redeemer of Israel, many of the commentaries, as Rabbi Kurzer points out, is in present form. Redeemer of Israel, not the Redeemer, which could have meant somebody who did it in the past, or not the future Redeemer. Goy El Yisrael, Redeemer, which implies right now redeeming. There is a process of redemption that goes on constantly. The process of redemption that goes on constantly, that we ask Hashem to redeem us within exile, is the fight against the Yetzer Hara. the constant redemption, that constant practice of redemption, that we're asking Hashem redeem us, which again means on a deeper level, redeem our neshamas, and on the deepest level, it means take away the barriers for us to go ahead and move forward. But on a constant level, the redemption that we seek, the redemption that we seek is, on a, so to speak, daily, constant level, is asking Hashem, save us from the Yetzer Hara. Save us from the Yetzer, the evil inclination that are so powerful in Galus, so powerful in exile, wants to take us away from serving you. We pray to Hashem, you are the Redeemer of Israel. We recognize that, and we recognize that you constantly redeem us. And how do you constantly redeem us? How do you help us constantly get to redemption? By helping us battle the Yetzer Hara. You know, there's a famous Gemara that says that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam created the Yetzer Hara so strong that if not for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam helping a person battle against his evil inclination, a person would never be able to withstand it. That means we are born with an inclination that takes us away from serving Hashem that essentially is stronger than we can control. We should all just forget about it and just be running after temptations, and we shouldn't even have the power to even consider resisting. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam always sends us a special power from him to resist. So the question is, you know, if he's sending us the power to resist, why make him so strong in the first place? What would be so bad if he wouldn't be so strong? What would be so bad if we kind of could, you know, we could put up a fight? No, you really can't put up a fight. But Hashem kind of, he instills with you extra energy to be able to fight him back. Why do it that way? So the explanation that I saw, I don't remember where I saw it, but I did recently see it, is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants us to realize that do not think you can do anything on your own. Don't think you can do anything on your own. Do not think that you have the ability on your own to overcome, to have control over yourself. You don't. You need the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Don't ever think that when you are successful in being able to go against your Yetzer Hara, it's because of you. You have the strength. No, it's all because Hashem gives you the strength. And when you put in the effort, he'll give you more and more strength to be able to overcome. But it always comes with the assistance of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Now, the Rabbi Kurzweil goes through a Gemara in Brachos that brings out this whole point that he's saying that our prayers are that we say to Hashem, that even in exile, redeem us. Give us a redemption even in exile. Help us in exile be able to overcome the influences of exile that create that shell around our potential that don't allow us to come close to you. And there's a Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara says the following. Give me a second, please, to find it. Here it is. All right. The Gemara says, Akbar and Gimel Amin Aleph. In Brachas, I'm Rabbi Yossi. The sage Rabbi Yossi said, "Pam achas hayisim ha'alach baderach. I was once traveling, nechnasti lochur ba'achas mechuris Yerushalayim lispalal, and I entered a ruined building in Yerushalayim to David. Ba Eliyahu zachor la'toiv, Elijah the prophet came, v'shamar li al ha'pesach, and waited by the door for me. Ad shesiyamti tefilasi, until I finished my prayers. La'achas shesiyamti tefilasi, after I finished my prayers." Amar li Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Said to him, Shalom Alechem Rebbe. V'amar tilei Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Umeri. And he said to him, Shalom Alechem to you, my teacher, my master. V'amar li b'ni, b'nei ma nechnasa l'chor v'zu. Why did you enter, Leo the Navi said to Rabbi Yossi, why did you enter this ruin? Which the Gemara says you're not supposed to do. Amar tilei l'ispalo. I see. So I said to him, I did it to Davin. V'amar li harlo l'chol l'ispalo baderech. Why are you going into the ruin? Stand on the road and daven. Rabbi Yossi said, I said to him, well, people are passing by on the road and they're going to interrupt me. You should have davened a shorter version of the Shemoneh Esrei. There's a halacha that under certain circumstances, you can. The sages made an abbreviated version of Shemoneh Esrei called Havineinu. It's meant to be a shorter version of the Shemoneh Esrei than the certain circumstances where you can't do the longer version, the shorter version, which is not something that we practice anymore. But he said you should have done the shorter version. Okay. So, and the Gemara says that from this conversation, I learned three things. I learned one thing is don't enter a ruin. I learned you can daven on the road, and when you're davening on the road, daven a short prayer. So it sounds like that there was this story, and there were these three practical lessons, three practical laws that he learned from it, which is what the Gemara discusses. But Kirzner offers a deeper understanding, that there is something more than the surface story about what he said that was going on. Yes, the story includes its simple explanation and the practical laws that were the derived from it, but there was also a deeper discussion going on here. And that was the following. Rabbi Yossi entered the churva. Rabbi Yossi entered the ruin. Entered to daven. That means he went to daven to the Rabbanu Shalom about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and exile. And he was saying to Rabbanu Shalom, no more exile. We can't handle it. It's not a good path. Got to take us out of exile, and that's the way we have to serve you. Exile is not going to work. That was his prayer. So what did Eliyahu HaNavi say to him? You should have davened on the road. Eliyahu HaNavi was saying to him, no, you shouldn't be davening that necessarily. You shouldn't necessarily be davening in the Golis. You should be davening on the way. You should be davening that on the journey through Golis, on the path of exile, you should be able to deal with it. You should be able to deal with exile, and you should ask Hashem to give you the strength to survive and come close to Him in exile. You should daven for redemption in exile. If exile, sure, you should ask Hashem to bring Mashiach into exile. But you should also be davening that even in exile, there should be redemption. Even in exile, we should have the ability to come close to you. So Rabbi Yossi said, I'm not going to daven on the path. People are going to come by and interrupt me. That means, no, in Gullus, with all the passers-by, with all the influences that come by, how are you going to survive in Gullus? How can you have any connection with Hashem in Gullus? There are too many interruptions, too many disturbances, too many influences trying to take us away. Said Eliyahu HaNavi, you do the abridged version. That means to say, you're right. You're not going to be able to gain the closest to Hashem in its highest sense unless you're redeemed. But you can do an abridged version of davening. You can have an abridged version of closest to Hashem, even in Golis, where you'll have a lot of challenges. You can pray to Hashem. You can have a connection to Hashem, even in Golis. You need to be able to find the strength and the ability. Part of the purpose of Golis and exile is that we look to Hashem and we say to Hashem, we want to connect you even in Golis. Give us the ability to fight the evil inclination of Golis, that we shouldn't adopt that lifestyle that creates the barriers to our potential. Give us the redemption within exile. Because when we seek redemption in exile, that brings us another step closer to the ultimate redemption from exile.